people said to me, Simon, how come you don't have to work? And that's when I realized my passion, like you, is actually teaching. There's plenty of money out there. The harder thing is to find good deals.
It's much easier to drag someone down than it is to pull someone up.
You don't want to be the smartest person in the room. You want to be pulled up by the people. Today, we funded developments worth 850 million. You will become like the people you're around. And it can be quite hard to break out of that.
When I got started in property, many of you know my story. I was very young, I was a teenager, didn't have any money, didn't have a track record, didn't have credit history, but there was a few key people that really believed in me and backed me. I regularly credit my parents, my mom, and my stepdad, Tim, who really helped me and supported me and believed in me. And there's also a guy called Simon Zushi, who spent 45 minutes on the phone to me when I was just 17 years old, backing me, believing in me. And it was actually him that told me to quit working for my dad and go full-time into property. And the fact that a millionaire who's really successful in property believed in me and gave me that little push, that was a massive thing for me. So Simon Zushi is here tonight, and he's been a good friend to me, and he's inspired me a lot over the years. And I'm really glad that he's said yes when I asked him to come out. So he's going to come up in a minute, and then Russell's going to come up, and we're going to do a little panel, and it's going to be some nice fun, inspiring, relaxed, and we'll just see what happens. So can we please show some love to Mr. Simon Zushi?
Brilliant. Okay, so thank you guys for joining us on stage. Now, we've got some brilliant questions here, all asked by you guys in the audience. The first one is for you, Simon, and it's, what did you think about Samuel when he was a teenager?
Not much, really. So I knew Tim, his dad, and he said to me, can you talk to my stepson? He's a magician, and one of my hobbies is magic. And he said, I think he needs a little bit of guidance and help. And Tim was doing some training with me, so I said, yeah, okay, fine, I'll have you help him out. And we had a chat, and I thought he was quite energetic. So I only really got to know him a few years later, really, when he started speaking at PIN meetings, and I kind of observed him there. But I didn't really know him at first. That's fair to say, yeah.
So first impressions, when you did meet, was the first time that telephone call Samuel was just talking about?
I think so, yeah. I just had a chat to him on the phone, really.
Yeah, and did you think this guy's going to go on to be, or nothing, really?
Not really. When I saw him speak at PIN meetings, though, I thought, it's something about him, definitely. Yeah. So I definitely thought he was a great speaker, very motivational. Didn't know he'd quite do what he's done now, but yeah, no, there was always something about that. But not when we first met, it was just a 45-minute call.
Yeah, all right, amazing, that's awesome. Next question, probably for both of you. What is the best type of event to go to build your investor list?
Well, I've got to say PIN, haven't I now? So Simon created something called Property Investors Network, which is, I think, how many is there? 52 things all across the country. I went to loads of PIN meetings, and I know a lot of you guys, raise your hand if you've ever been to a PIN meeting. A lot of people. We encourage people to do that. So PIN is an incredible, definitely incredible place to go to network. Obviously, within the academy, there's loads of networking that takes place. But yeah, definitely. I mean, I went to loads of PIN meetings. I was like, I would drive to Newcastle just to be at a meeting with 20 people, just because I believe in the power of networking. So yeah, massive believer in it. So PIN's definitely good. Although you sold PIN. It's no longer yours. Is it painful to see?
I've done PIN for about 18 years, so it's a bit like selling your child for medical experimentation, really. That's a joke, by the way. Don't do that.
But that wasn't painful, though.
No, it wasn't. No, it was. I got to a point where I'd kind of done it enough to sometimes have to move on and do different things, and I got made a really good offer, so, you know.
All right, so next question, this is for Samuel. It says, when are you going to interview Nigel Farage?
I didn't realise I was going to interview Nigel Farage.
Yeah, it's not are you going to. That goes without saying, it's when are you going to.
Who asked that question? Okay, you asked that question. I don't have any plans to interview Nigel Farage. I did meet him last month, I think it was, or maybe a couple months ago. I don't really know anything about Nigel Farage, to be honest. I don't know really. I don't. Should I interview? Should I interview Nigel Farage?
Yeah.
Do we like Nigel Farage? Wait, should I maybe have a boxing match with Nigel Farage? Yeah, I don't really know anything about him. I met him actually at Joseph Ferrante's event, and I was on the panel, and he was on the panel. So I met him very briefly, and he seemed pleasant enough guy, but I don't really know anything about his politics. If I did interview him, what I would probably do is I would study him first, and then I'd do a debate with him, I think. You know, debate things with him and whatnot. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting that everybody hates him but wants me to interview him.
Yeah. Do you want to interview him? Yeah. Do we like him? No.
Raise your hand if you do like him. If you like him. You like him. Good. Raise your hand if you don't like him. All right. Okay. All right. Well,
raise your hand if you don't know whether you like him or not.
That'll be me.
No, that'll be me. I'm like that. I don't really know.
Yeah, I don't really know. Opinion. But yeah, if you want me to interview him, I'll interview. I'm sure he'd do it.
Yeah. Talking of people that maybe we don't like, Simon, what did you think of Developer Keek's video?
You've seen it, right?
Well, I saw your reply, which I thought was interesting. And well, we talked about this before, right? You can tell when someone's full of shit. And I thought your video was very funny, particularly explaining how he would sneak around the developments on the Sunday when no one was there to take pictures. So, I think probably what was a bit foolish, and maybe that's just a bit young and naive, is why would he decide to take you on? That's probably not a good idea, is it, really? Claiming you don't know what you're talking about when that was obviously just a projection.
I think a lot of people do it for views, though, don't they?
Oh, clickbait, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so that's why. He probably didn't realise you were going to respond.
It's funny because people said, you just played into his hands. That's what he wanted. He didn't want that. He didn't want that. No one wants that. So, yeah. Nah. But you thought it was hilarious then, basically. Yeah, someone thought it was hilarious. My mentor approved. It's fine.
I wouldn't have been so cruel, personally. But you remind me a bit like Donald Trump, actually. In a good way. Because if you read some of his books, he says, someone goes to you, you go for them harder. So you remind me a little bit like that. You don't take any shit. That's good.
You remind me a bit of Nigel Farage.
I hope you enjoyed the video, but have you spent one day with me yet at the Property Investors Crash Course? If not, what are you waiting for? Link in bio, tickets are just £1. And if you can't make a physical crash course, we now have a virtual crash course too. I'll see you there.
He got his bank closed, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
That's a good... I would interview him about that, because I don't know anything about his politics or anything like that at all. I probably wouldn't agree with him, because I think he's, from what I know, he's very much into close the borders and that kind of stuff. My wife came from Zimbabwe. A lot of business colleagues and stuff are not British, so I probably would disagree with him on a lot of that stuff, but his bank shit, man. Yeah, do you know about what happened? What's your opinion on that?
Well, banks have too much power, basically. And banks kind of run everything, unfortunately. And that's why the government supports banks. And I think, traditional banking is not going to be around in 15, 20 years because they're just terrible. And, technology is coming in. And, I went to open a new bank account last year. And I've banked with Lloyds and HSB for years and years and years. I said, when I open a new bank, they said, oh, yeah, it'll take about 3 weeks. I thought, what? You go to Metro with your documents, you do it in an hour for a business account. You kind of think, you've got to change and adapt. And actually, it's because of banks, or particularly because of bridging companies and development companies who didn't understand bridging finance. That's why I set up Crown Property 10 years ago, to provide a solution. Yeah, I will do. So I was doing lots of commercial to residential. I was turning care homes into flats, and a pub into flats, a youth centre into flats, etc. And I was using private money, so I do what you do. I teach people to use other people's money. And by the way, in case you're wondering if it's hard to get, there's plenty of money out there. The harder thing is to find good deals. If you want to make a lot of money in property, just find really good deals. And if people know you, if your network's big enough, there'll always be people who will fund those deals. And also, don't be an idiot either. That kind of helps. But still, I was finding great deals, and people doing my training were finding good deals. And I realized a lot of people in my network didn't have chunks of 50K. I was working with investor chunks of 50K. So I thought, wouldn't it be good if we could take people who've got a little bit of money but want to get a better return, and people who've got really good deals, put them together and run a business that's run by people who actually get property and have done property and do development. And that's what we did. I created Crown Property, and to date we funded developments worth About 850 million, I think, is the latest count at the moment. So, pretty good.
And did you sell that as well, or do you?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay, that's next. Before the
child. We're building that one to maybe pass on in the future. Let's put it that way. Yeah.
Nice. Amazing. Have either of you got a good story about someone who was giving you grief when you were younger, and then you met them again when you were older, and now you're crazy successful?
My dad. Can you tell the story of what happened about that?
Do you remember?
I do, yeah. So Tim was working with me, and he said, "Oh, can you speak to my stepson, who's doing magic and working for his dad, and I think he needs a bit of guidance." And you know, my hobby is still magic. Good luck doing it. So yeah, happy to talk to you. And I think you were working. Do you mind me sharing all this? Okay, so you're working for your dad, and I'd actually forgotten until you reminded me, but you were saying you were working for like £25 a day, which at that age, you know, you were 17 or something.
16. 17.
Yeah, that's maybe not bad, but not maybe for a whole day. And I said to you, I don't think you should be doing that, really. And I think I taught you about passive income in terms of, you know, if you're working and getting paid for that, no matter how much you're earning, when you stop doing that, you stop getting paid. And obviously, Tim was learning all about property. And so I think that got you thinking in a different way. And I think you probably had a difficult conversation with your dad. And then and then you went into property.
He's speaking of 2 years because of you.
Yeah. Are you sorry?
I'm not sorry, no.
No. Sometimes there are people around us who love us, but maybe don't always support us the way we need to be supported. And that can be difficult, especially with someone very close to you, right? And it's hard to break out of that, but sometimes that's what you have to do. You have to get the right kind of environment around you because you become like the people around you. That's why it's so good that people are in something like this, because, you know, you want to get around people who you aspire to be. You don't want to be the smartest person in the room. You want to be pulled up by other people. And sometimes if that's family, friends, work colleagues, it can be difficult, but you need to be selective sometimes who you speak to and what you say to people, because if they're not going to support you, maybe don't tell them. You don't want them tearing down your dreams. And the problem is, if someone is a bit negative to you, whether it's a family member or on social media, what you need to understand is, it's probably not about you. It's probably about them. And it's their insecurities, and it's because they would never have the guts, determination to do what you're doing to try and better yourself. And so by having a bit of a pop at you makes them feel a bit better. So it's not about you, it's about them. And that's why Facebook has a button called unfriend.
You've kind of touched on this, Simon, already, but the question is, why did you sell PIN? And was it a good decision?
And how much do you sell it for?
I can't say that. So I never thought, when I set it up, I never thought I'd sell it. I set up the very first networking in the UK of property investors because there wasn't any. And actually, I'd left my job at Cadbury's in 2001. And I hadn't quite replaced my income by then. It took me another couple of years, 2003. And I went on a course actually in 2002. I think it was one of the very, very early courses. Company, it doesn't exist anymore. And some of the stuff I knew, but I definitely learned stuff. And that kind of taught me, you always want to have an open mind. You can always learn more. Anytime you think you know it all, that's a dangerous place to be. That's when you start making expensive mistakes. And so I went on this course and learned some really cool things about, you know, buying with none of my own money and stuff like that. And I came off the course, bought a property straight away. And I noticed my enthusiasm and motivation went down. And I realized it, and that's, none of my friends were doing property. They were all busy working. They wondered what I was doing. None of my family have invested in property apart from their own home. So it really was quite a lonely journey. And I was doing a lot of personal development at the time, Tony Robbins and stuff. And they were something called the Yes Group. And they had one in Birmingham and London. And there were a couple of people interested in property, but no one really got what I was trying to do. I went online, see if there's some sort of group that wasn't. So I set up the very first networking anywhere in the UK. And called it PIN. It was just a few of us meeting on the Hagley Road, as I'm sure you remember. And people said to me, Simon, how come you don't have to work? And I said, I do my property, and I do some of my nightclub promoting, which I was doing. It was a good fun thing to do at that time. I said, no, that's not work. You don't go to work. So I started to explain what, and that's when I realized my passion, like you, is actually teaching and sharing. And that's kind of grown, and I never thought I'd sell the business because it was a lot of me doing it. But I just got made a very, very good offer. And, you know, you get to a point where you think, actually, I need to do something a bit different. And so I stayed on as CEO to run the business and grow it for a few years. Was it a good decision? I don't know. I'm not quite sure. I like some of the, you know, when the company's taken over by another company, it's never quite the same. But I was ready to move on, I think. But we'll have to wait and see.
When did you sell it? How long ago? A little while ago now, wasn't it?
April to that, almost 2 years ago.
Almost 2 years.
Almost 2 years ago,
so yeah. When do you think you'll know? When you say wait and see?
Before April.
Before April?
Okay.
I'll show you back in May.
Just to ask you that question.
I'll send you a video.
He's that desperate not to come back. We'll have to have you back. Oh, no. What are your top tips for changing your whole circle as an adult when your whole circle, including your family, are negative and miserable?
Well, you can't unfriend all your family, unfortunately, which would be good sometimes. But I think what you need to do is you need to substitute that environment with other environments like this and PIN meetings and not just PIN, other property groups. And wherever you go around, if you find your tribe, you need to plug into that and keep whatever that might be. And then, you know, listening, you got to be so careful what you put into your head. So instead of listening to music all the time, which is good because that can motivate you as well, listen to audiobooks, listen to personal development stuff. You know, put the positive stuff in. Stop listening to the news because that's all negative anyway, because unfortunately negative headlines sell. Start putting positivity in your head. Talk to people. We're all negative. Some we all have bad days. When you catch yourself, say, oh, that's interesting, and change your thoughts. So you can work on yourself a lot. And then if someone's negative, you can be there, you can talk to them, but you just don't allow their energy to affect you. This might be a bit woo-woo, but you can kind of protect your energy to a certain extent. And then just aspire to get into groups of other successful people. And you've got to be so careful because you will become like the people you're around. And it can be quite hard to break out of that. But you might need to make some tough decisions and maybe start spending less time with some of those negative people.
Have you ever had to do that? Have you ever had anyone you've consciously made a decision, I'm not going to hang around with this person anymore?
Well, not so much hang, but one of my best friends was a friend from Cadbury's, and he just didn't get any of the mindset stuff. You know, he was one of my early housemates. So we'd sit in there cooking or washing up or whatever after dinner, and I might have I tell how long ago this was. I have a Tony Robbins cassette, so I'm talking a long time ago, playing. And I'd be doing the washing up, listening to my Tony Robbins, and he'd come in and go, you're a winner. And he'd just take the piss, right? And you know, he stayed at Cadbury's, and he then moved to his work. And he's a very successful sales director now, and he's got a great life, and he's a good friend of mine, but I just didn't talk to him about any of the stuff I do, property-wise. You know, I'm you know, still speak to him, but I'm just selective what I say. Yeah, you must have some people like that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think if you've got people in your family that aren't supportive, it's really easy to try and persuade them and be like, no, look, watch this YouTube video and try and persuade them. But generally speaking, that doesn't work. It's much easier to drag someone down than it is to pull someone up. So I think the best thing to do is to just show them your results. Just be quiet. You don't have to go on and on and on. You don't have to your friends and family to all agree and be rooting for you. Just crack on, get some deals, and then when they see you driving a nice car, when they see you quitting your job and upgrading your house and suddenly living your life on your terms, then they'll be like, okay. And then instead of trying to persuade them, I think it's much more powerful to just show them. The amount of people on Winners on a Wednesday that come on Winners on a Wednesday, and when I'm chatting to them before the camera goes on, I'm like, so what do your family think? And they go, they don't even know. I'm like, what do you mean they don't know? You're making 20 grand a month. Yeah, they don't know. Well, what are they going to think? And they're like, I don't know. You know, I'm curious. You know, this is the first time I've ever spoken publicly about what I'm doing. And I just sometimes wonder, what must they think? You know, imagine if like your brother or someone, you don't know anything. And then suddenly they're making 20 grand, 30 grand a month. They're a property millionaire. They're on Winners on a Wednesday. You know, tens of thousands of views. It's crazy. But that's the way to do it. Don't tell people what you're going to do. Just show them what you did.
It's interesting, family, isn't it? And I think sometimes there's some people who love you and they care for you I just want to protect you, because they don't understand something. They're trying to protect something they don't understand, and something they think, oh, it's a con, and you know, what do you mean you can make 10,000, 20,000 a month? You could, they because they don't believe it, they don't think it's possible, they don't think anyone could do it, right? So in a way, there's sometimes people are want to protect you, but there's also a deep, deep feeling that if you change, if you become this person, will you still want them in their life? And that's why people sometimes pull you down, just to, because they don't want to lose you. I'm curious, if you don't mind me asking, so how's your relationship with your dad? What does your dad think of you now? Because he didn't speak to you for 2 years, so you're doing property. How's that?
I still speak to my dad. Yeah, we're on good terms in that now. He lives in Brazil, so I don't see him. I've not seen him for many years. What's my relationship with him like? I don't talk to him about property, business. You know, he's never said, like, oh, I'm really proud of you.
So. He says it to me a lot, but... I assume this is for Simon. What do you think of Simon Squibb?
I don't know who Simon Squibb is. Have I missed something?
I don't know who Simon Squibb is either.
I know who he is. I don't like him one bit. Who is he? I'll tell you who he is. I don't know if I like him or not. I kind of like him, but I kind of hate him. He stops people in the street and he says to them, do you have a dream? And then they might be like, what? And he's like, do you have a dream? And they'll be like, oh, yeah, I do. I want to be a famous DJ. And then he'll give him like £20 and be like, I support you. I'll book you, you know. So he's like one of those guys. You know, really, but I think his heart is to promote.
Did you say £20?
Yeah, like small change, bro. Yeah, he'll just be like, oh, he's
£50. That's not really going to help with that dream, is it?
In total, he's given about £100,000 in total. But he's been doing this for like years, stopping people in the street, giving them money. But he also raises money from the public to do this. Then it's strange because he goes, I'm a multimillionaire, and then gives people £50 and raises money to do it. So I don't quite get that. But the reason I don't like him isn't because of that. The reason I don't like him is because he always bashes property. And he says, like, sometimes he'll stop people in the street and he'll go, do you have a dream? And they'll go, yeah, to be a property investor. And then he'll just like stop poo-pooing their dream. So it's like,
doesn't even give them £20.
Don't even give them £20. No, he'll say, do you want to be, what's your dream? Oh, I want to be a property investor. And he'll be like, oh, it's a terrible business. It's a scam. It's evil, right? He messaged me actually one time. And he was like, oh, you're a property investor. You know, we should debate. I was like, hell yeah. Like, I love that kind of thing. So I was like, yeah, man, let's debate. I'd love to debate with you. So we got a date to debate, and then he cancelled, like, the last minute. Oh, actually, I don't want to debate, or, oh, I'm busy. And then I was like, well, when do you want to reschedule? And then he's, like, been dodging me in that. So I want to fuck him up in a debate soon. Can't wait for that. Is he a bad person? Probably not. He's probably a good person. I just think he's wrong when it comes to property, and I can't wait to meet him and debate him, because I love just thrashing things out. That's where you learn, thrashing things out in a debate.
Thing is, though, there are too many people who comment on property who haven't got a clue what they're talking about, because they don't actually have any property, they've never done it.
His story is, his mom and dad were big into property, and then there was a massive recession, and they lost everything.
But that's because maybe they didn't know what they were doing.
Right, they should have taken a pin.
Exactly. Just because someone's in property... and here's a really important point. You might be speaking to landlords to pick up their properties, to rent, whatever. And sometimes you might be nervous about speaking to a landlord who's been doing it 20 years. You know, oh my God, they're going to know all this stuff. Well, they might be doing one thing for 20 years. They might be just doing single lets for 20 years. We know single lets, you can do singles, but they're a much better strategy, right? And they might have never, ever educated themselves. And even though your knowledge might be theoretical, it might be actually greater than their knowledge. So you've got to have confidence in when you speak to people, and that's got to come through. If you're really shy and timid, they're probably not going to want to work with you, but that just comes with practice, right? But the fact you're educating yourself is such an important thing to do, and that will shine through. So don't worry about people who've got more experience. That's okay. And you could be interested in them. And like when you go to networking, you know, it's not just about finding the people, the really experienced people in the room to kind of ask some questions, suck their knowledge out of their head. Some of the best people you can meet in the room have got no experience at all, but they've come to a network meeting or a training event because they've got money. And smart people who've got money understand the importance of education, think, I need to go and educate myself. And then They might go to an event and think, this is good, but it's all too much work. And they want to work with someone like you who's keen and eager and can go and do all the work for them. So that's why going to events is the best place to meet people who might want to invest.
How could I offer value to a billionaire or a multimillionaire?
Most people, smart people, are self-aware and they should know what some of their challenges are. So I imagine Russell's a multimillionaire, right? Imagine. I'd say, Russ, so is there anything you're struggling with at the moment? Is there any help you need? Anything I could do for you? And if I don't know, but I find out what it's put, I might go and research it and find out what it is. Say, would you like me to help you? So I'm not asking him for anything. I'm offering him something. I'm trying to give him some value first. And hopefully you might say, oh, that's kind of interesting. You might be prepared to do some work for him or do some, just help him in a way. Because everyone's got some challenges and weaknesses.
Well, actually, you did ask me that question. I was going to say, when we were chatting, the first thing you asked me, which was a great, better question than what you just said then, actually. The first thing you asked me was, what's your biggest challenge right now?
I did.
Which I think is a better question than, how can I help
you? Why did you ask him that question?
Because I'm nosy.
Well, is it because you're thinking maybe there could be some business or maybe...
I'm always open to opportunities, you know, and I always want to ask things. But I like to think I've done quite a few things in my time. And I always like to, I think if you start off a relationship by giving a bit of value, it's always a good way to start. And if you say, what's the challenge at the moment? What are you struggling with? And you can give us a little insight. We go, oh, that's great. That's interesting, you know.
I mean, that's a great question. Yeah, I didn't mean this was a great question. I think it's not a bad question, but I mean, what's your biggest challenge right now is a great question. No offense to this question, whoever wrote it. It's a good question as well. But it's not as good as his question.
But we finished now. But those five words, you might want to write them down.
Hey, I'm the host here, bro, you know.
Sorry. Yeah, but we're the stars. You're the host, right? So... you might want to write down those five words, the words I asked him, which are very good words. Yeah. By the way, how can I help you? What a great way to start a conversation. What a great way to answer a phone. How can I help you? And when you speak to a seller, how can I help you? Because the way you'll get really, really good property deals, I know we're not going to talk too much about property, but we can't help it, right? To get really good property deals, you've got to find people who've got problems and challenges and find out how you can solve those problems, so to speak. If you could solve their problem, you give them what they want or what they need, they're far more likely to give you what you need. And this is a people business. It's all about relationships. So actually, it is a very good question. How can I help you?
And as someone who is a networker, that's where it comes from, right? Being a great networker.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely, yeah.
When do you plan to retire?
Well, this is interesting. Neither of us have to do what we do, really. We do it because we like it. But as you get older, you won't realize this at the moment, but as you get a bit older, you get a bit more tired, you have a bit more less energy and stuff. And I was probably similar to you in energy when I was your age. I'm a bit quieter now. And actually, I spoke to my wife about this, and she thinks I work too much, and she's probably right, because I enjoy what I do. That's an excuse workaholics use. I enjoy doing it. What I'm doing right now, I think I'll probably be stopping in a few years' time. I've actually set a date of April 2027. I think I'll always do some sort of training, maybe not property, but I really like training and helping people and growing, so I'll do something else. But I'll just do a slightly different thing. I get bored after a while, after 20 years, 25 years will be by then, probably. You know, what about you?
Well, I don't believe you're going to retire in 2027. I don't think you will. And I don't...
Depends what you mean by retire, doesn't it? I'm not going to go and sit on a beach because I go pink and crispy in the sun.
That's what retirement is.
Well, no, it isn't. No, this is an interesting debate. What is retirement? Retirement's doing whatever you want to do with time. I reckon most people here, like you got some pretty motivated people here. Most of you lot, you might think, oh, I want to retire, sit on a beach. I guarantee most of you, after 6 months, you'll be crazy. You'll be doing your partner's head in. They'll say, can't you go and do something? Can't you go and start a business or something? I bet if you retired and did not, Amanda would say, get out of the house. You need to go and do something.
It happened.
Well, there you go.
I actually did retire at 25. I retired and we had children. And after about 4 or 5 months, I was like just bouncing around the rooms. And I did a cage fight. I signed up for a cage fight. I won, by the way. I won the cage fight. Smacked him out in the second round.
So how come he only did boxing and Rob Moore? Cage fight would have been much more fun.
I don't know, mate. I still battered him. I mean, geez.
Actually, there's the next question was, what do you think of the Rob Moore fights? You might as well jump onto that right now.
Well, yeah, let's talk about that right now. What do you think about that? And why weren't you there?
Well, I was actually out of the country. And I said very publicly, I wouldn't do something as stupid as that. But if I was in the country, I would have paid to come and see you smack each other. Definitely.
Who were you supporting, Simon?
Well, that's a really difficult question, isn't it? Really difficult question. You see, if I said Samuel, you say, oh, it's just because I'm here, right? I think probably because I did help you in the early days a little bit, you know, maybe I probably have a bit of loyalty towards you. But I probably would have enjoyed seeing both of you get smacked in the head, to be perfectly honest. Come on, to be fair.
Yeah, that's right, man. But anyway, I retired when I was 25 and then had a cage fight. And then my wife was like, stop it. You know, just stop it now. You need to do something. And then we started doing developments, Samuel Lee's Foundation, and Samuel Lee's Education. So, and that's, you know, why we're here now.
If you were to define retirement as to stop working, do you ever plan on stopping working then? No. How do you trust new people in the game, and how do you get people to trust you when you're new to property? Or new in property?
I'll do that one first. That's easier. And Sam has said it, really. You've just got to go out and start getting results. And I think a very easy thing that if you're in this group, anybody in this group could do rent to rent. Anybody. It's not exactly passive. You definitely put some time and effort into it. But it's a great way to bring cash flow in quick. And we were talking about this earlier. I think that's the most important thing, to bring cash in first. And then if you've got rent to rent, you could take people that you've met here or at networking around and say, look, it's not mine, but here's what I've done. Just demonstrate you obviously know what you're doing. And I think that know, like, and trust things. I think putting what you do on social media is really important. You know, and if you should be taking selfies of yourself here and putting it out saying you're training yourself. Because if someone's going to work with you, joint venture, or particularly lend money with you, they want to make sure you know what you're doing. And here's the thing, if you're not prepared to invest in yourself, why on earth would someone else invest in you? So the fact you have all invested in yourself, you should tell people that you are investing in yourself and you're learning what to do. And then get some results, and rent-to-rent an easier way of, I wouldn't say it's easy, but probably the most straightforward way of doing it, and then build on that credibility. Having said that, if you're working with a more experienced investor and you go and find a really, really good deal, they'll know it's a good deal. So the fact you found it, and go back to saying the best thing you can do is finding good deals in my mind, that also gets credibility. The fact I found this great deal, I know it's a good deal, but actually you could go to someone not only as an investor, but also as somebody who brings expertise to that deal. That happens to me. People come to me sometimes with deals and they just want to, they know it's a deal, but they can't quite get it done. I know the same thing you, right? They bring deals to you because they want a bit of help to get it done rather than just walking away because it's a bit too scary, yeah?
Are you generally a trusting person in business? Obviously, you've done a lot of businesses, a lot of joint ventures. Are you a trusting person in general?
Yeah, too trusting. I have definitely been a bit naive in the past, thinking that people are, you like to think people are like you. Yeah, and you like to think people would do what they say they're going to do and they're trustworthy, etc. So I've definitely made some mistakes by being too trusting. So would you like to, do you mind if I teach this? A little bit of content I share with people. Here's a little tip for you. If you're going to do a joint venture with someone, I think you need to know them really, really well. And far too often people, metaphorically speaking, jump into bed with each other far too quickly to do a JV. A loan's a bit different because a loan is someone's giving the money and you're responsible for it, you've got to pay it back and interest, and they get the money back before you make any money. But a JV, you're sharing risk and you're sharing reward. And so you really need to get to know people, because you might meet someone at a networking event or training, you get on really well, that's great. But the problem is when things go wrong in property, which happens all of the time, it's how you handle that and how you deal with that and how you work through problems together. So here's a little test. So if you're thinking about working with someone, you need to know them really, really well. And you should ask yourself these three questions. First question is, would I be happy for this person to come around to my house and have dinner and meet all of my family? Okay, so you know, you've got to know someone fairly well to bring them into your own home, meet your family, meet your kids, etc., right? So that's the first question. taking it a bit further, would I be happy if this person not only came over for dinner, but actually stayed in my house, you know, and they, you know, stayed the night and then they had breakfast with us next day as well. You've got to know someone a bit better for them to actually stay in your home, right? And then taking it one step further, how about, do I know this person well enough to come spend the entire weekend with me and my whole family? We'll go out, get to do things and get to know each other better. And if you're uncomfortable with any of those three steps, I suggest you probably don't really know those people well enough. And I'm saying that through having made some mistakes. I've had some great partnerships and JVs. I had someone I didn't know them well enough and I didn't do enough due diligence.
I think that's very good advice. We, even myself and Samuel, as brothers, when we teamed up, oh, we were talking about this earlier, we teamed up in end of 2017, 2018, we spent months discussing it, going through the roles, what you're going to do. One of the common mistakes we see, we run a program called ACPP. Have you guys been on ACPP yet? Probably not a couple of people, but not many. Right. So with ACPP, one of the common mistakes is joint ventures that now have gone sour and they've jumped into bed with them too early and now they're stuck.
I just want to add to that, though. There's different types of joint ventures. You can do a deal with somebody on a case by case. Or you can, for instance, co-deal source with somebody. That's not, I don't think, the type of joint venture you guys are talking about. What you're talking about is when you actually set up a company with somebody as opposed to just doing a deal.
That's a transaction. That's not a joint. Yeah, you're right. That's a good distinction to make there. And one of the biggest mistakes I see people make, and I've made it myself, when you do deals with other people, even if it's just a transaction, please make sure you got something in writing.
Yeah, right.
Biggest problem, people have a handshake agreement. And here's the thing. Samuel and I could sit here, we can make an agreement, we're completely on board with what we're doing together, and we go away, and then a few months down the line, we realize we have a different interpretation of what was agreed. Whereas if it's written down, that's very hard for that to happen. And let me ask a question. How many of you ever had that? You've agreed something with someone, and a few months later realize actually you misunderstood the agreement, yeah? I don't see, look, guys, who's got a relationship partner? It must have happened with them, right? You think you've agreed something and then you have a different understanding? Maybe it's just me, I don't know. But
I have. Or they've said, oh, I told you that earlier. I'm like, I don't remember.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. All the time, 100%.
But that happens when I have that my wife. I call it wife noise. She says things that just don't go in sometimes.
With that, is it that the man doesn't listen and doesn't remember? Or is it that they never really told us in the first place? That's what I'm not sure.
Well, I think it could be both, actually.
You reckon both?
I reckon both, yeah. I reckon there's definitely some selective hearing going on sometimes.
Yeah, maybe.
But I'm also sometimes people think though that they thought it, they haven't actually said it.
I tell what my wife does. If she wants me to do something or whatever, she'll just text me. And then like a few days later, she'll do that thing. And I'm like, you never told me. And then she'll just scroll through. There you go! Black and white, so that's what my wife does.
Right, last question. So this better be a good one. If I beat you in a game of rock, paper, scissors.
Hold on, I'll find out who asked it.
Who asked this question? Stand up. Okay, so this is the question. So I'm saying it on your behalf. Simon first. If she beats you, Simon, in a game of rock, paper, scissors, high stakes here, will you give her £100?
Probably not. No. Would she give me £100 if I beat her?
Would you give it? No.
Oh, no.
You'd have to be an idiot as a businessman to do it. So, Samuel.
Samuel. By the way, we know what the answer is.
You ain't going to beat me. All right, deal on. Come on.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Yeah, go.
Paper, scissors, shoot.
I thought you only won when you had paper if you actually wrapped it around their hands. No. So this is the final.
This is it.
I told you you weren't going to win, but well done for trying. Well done. thank you for coming tonight. This is not the end of the evening. Stick around, network, have drinks, have fun. If you get a chance to get a selfie with Simon, I'm sure he won't mind. He'll be around maybe somewhere, so grab a selfie with him. And happy networking. God bless you and good night. Thank you.